David Sinek in here? Can we ban him?
Can we ban Sinek? That'd be nice.
Now, is it more of like a conversation with you, or do you just want me just to pontificate?
Pontificate. All right, we're live, folks. Thanks for showing up. This is Jake Carney from Alternative Health Daily. Just loves to talk and be out in public. Nothing he likes more. So, been bugging him a lot. Jake, we've known a lot, and David Sinek kind of like made sure he got to baby bathwater and made sure this happened. Jake has been doing really well in content marketing, all kinds of stuff, a bunch of fits and starts, but then he finally hit on this free plus shipping offer with a book, and I think his business is just growing to crazy numbers, and it's nuts, and he's actually doing it, and I think we could all apply it one way or another. And so Jake's agreed to kind of just unload on us, like, and I'll just, you know, start, like, you don't really need to introduce yourself or anything, but first of all, like, what is free plus shipping?
So free plus shipping is, some people call it bait and switch. I don't like calling it that.
Right.
But I'm also very transparent about what you're doing with free plus shipping. Basically, it's offering a product for free. They just have to cover the shipping cost. And that shipping cost, which I'll go through here too, is like, that number is determined by the audience because we split test everything. And you're going to hear that. It's going to get so annoying throughout this call about like what split testing, because I never make any decisions. I let the numbers do it. So we've kind of stumbled upon free plus shipping 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and then really just started to dial it in through all our products and, you know, found success, found failures, and you continue to have sex, continue to have success, and continue to have failures. So it's an ongoing beast. It's an ongoing dragon you got to stay on. And once you think that you're on it for good, you're going to get thrown off again. So there's a lot of stuff that we've learned over this, especially over the past year of doing this, scaling from like, you know, 10 books a day to up to 7,000 front-end customers a day. So
got it.
A lot of stuff that I've learned through this. And I wanted to call this the 10 mistakes I've learned over the year, but Lovage said, no, play the hits. And so
yes, I'm up, the hits.
I'm up in here playing, you know, Freebird for everybody. So
exactly. So let's start with the goal. So the goal of free plus shipping is what? Why does one do it?
That's what I had here. Like, why do you want to do free plus shipping, right? And so is it customer acquisition? Is it to make money? Is it to, you know, increase your brand awareness, which I don't do that at all. For us specifically, it was all about customer acquisition, because for 5, 6, 7 years, our company was all about building a massive email list and running offers, third-party advertisements while I do my great content to it. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we had that idea of like, let's start selling our own products. And so we went from, you know, spending probably like $100,000 a month just in lead generation to keep the list going and growing and everything like that, which worked great, to if you look at your balance sheets and your P&Ls, if you stop doing that and you actually start making money off that, that reversal is, you know, insane. And so that was a big just business move from us, is shutting off that, you know, paid lead generation and actually doing for-profit business generation. And so that really opened the door for a lot of stuff.
So what were you doing in your – just real – the alternative, you say paid lead generation. What do you mean?
Sure. Like, so we'd go out Google, Facebook, Live Intent, et cetera, and like run up. We were infamous for quizzes. So run all of our quizzes, you know, poop quizzes, is your body toxic quizzes. And these things would get super high conversion rates and you'd start building a list. But again, I'm paying that money every single day. I'm not necessarily making money right there immediately like I
got
do
it.
With the free plus shipping. And so building that list was always what we do. And we still kind of do it, but now we do it for profit or at least break even.
So Perry Belch, we call it a self-liquidating lead.
Yeah.
So the idea is you get a lead, you either made money or didn't have to pay for it because the shipping covers it.
Yeah.
And you also, instead of just getting an email address for a free ebook, you got somebody to whip out a credit card, which is a different type of lead.
Yep. And so what you do is, and you might be thinking like, well, how can I, you know, make that up? How can I make that money? And I'll get down to that in a second in my notes. But you got to be able to make that up in what we call the upsells and the downsells, right? And those are also, you know, like blessings and curses as well. And so you got to be able to figure out what your true to form cost of goods, everything from the cost of the book to the fulfillment of the book to the shipment of the book to the refund rates to the chargeback rates. You got to have all of that caked into your numbers. And unless if you're not, you're not dealing with real numbers or real data, and you can find yourself really kind of chasing your tail at month's end. But if you really, and you have to get conservative, you have to say like, you know what, I'm actually going to bake in another like 20 cents on the shipping, another 20 cents on fulfillment, just to really kind of really put yourself up against a wall and say, how can I fucking beat this? And so if you do that and you have all of your data in front of you, then you can say, okay, you know, making $9.95 up front, and then you just upsell one. Can I get them to convert at, you know, at a 20% conversion rate at $37? Well, that comes out to what, you know, $7 or $8 that I've now added on top of that. And then you guys can do the math as far as you, you know, go down the upsell path. But it's all about making it up right after that sale. That's super.
So how much? So what is your free plus shipping offer? So the book cost you how much?
Yes. About. So I'll show you here.
And it could be anything. It could be a buck knife. It doesn't matter.
No, it's funny because I have all these around here. So we have a gardening book, super nice colored book. We offer this free plus shipping, $9.95. One book, some digital bonuses, and you got to make sure you say that they're digital. Next upsell is usually.
Wait, how much? Slow down. How much did the book cost?
Oh, I'm sorry. How much did the book cost? We buy them in bulk a lot. So I can get this book down to about 80 cents to a dollar. But again, I'm buying, you know, like 50,000, 100,000 books.
And you're charging $9.95 for shipping. And then how much does your shipping cost?
Shipping cost, you know, also ranges from where they're going, but that's anywhere from, you know, $2.50 to $3.50.
Okay. So you're making like $5 a book.
Right.
Off shipping. And so people don't most people know that $9.95 is a lot for shipping?
We get that question a lot. Not enough to turn the needle, right? So it goes back to what I'm saying, which is, A, we've split tested $4.95, $6.95, $9.95. And in terms of profitability, being able to run paid traffic, $9.95 works for us for that. On top of that, what we also do is, and this is something, is another win we got beat up over, which is through the upsell process, if you buy one book and then let's say the next upsell, you buy another set of three books, your order, we will actually upgrade you to expedited shipping. So you actually get it faster than that. So your $9.95 actually then becomes tolerable because now you're getting it faster. And so the real demon is that media mail, which takes a long time to get there, to get that really, you know, low price. And we can go all around talking about DHL versus UPS versus USPS or whatever, but.
So they just take the offer. It's $5 margin. And that means you can pay $5 on paid media to get that person, right? Because you're backing out.
Yeah. Yes.
But then break even for the day.
What's that?
And break even for the day, but then you're upselling, right? So you're saying.
Okay, sure. And then you gotta walk them through that upsell flow, right? Of getting to there, because getting that CPA down to 5 or, you know, 10, there's a lot of other kind of stuff when it comes into the upsells or the cost of goods and everything. But here's a good margin or good CPA goal for everybody if you're looking for books per se, or any type of product for $9.95. Is we found success if we can get anything really below like a $15 CPA, we could pretty much be profitable all day long, right? And so that's if you're launching initial tests and you can kind of, if your initial tests go in that $20 range, you should have a pretty good job of getting that down into the 15 and, you know, and below that. So so first product is the book, 80 cents, then you have some shipping built on top of that, then you have your CPAs and everything like that, you know, baked in through Facebook. And then you make it up on the upsells, which usually we found success now with, we're going everything to physical. Ebook is not amazing. So once you buy one of these, they get upsold into like three more different types of gardening books. And then after that, they get upsold into another like set of three, you know, other, you know, books that we have, right? And then we try and hit them on that third upsell with that higher price point. So whether it's a seed box or a seed kit or it's something else, if that in a health range, and maybe it's a supplement, maybe it's, you know, a higher price.
So it's books, more books, more books, then something physical that's like,
yeah, you know, I have not yet found success going free plus shipping book to a different type of product. I mean, everything we've tested has been more of the same wins.
It's a Dodd 101. So it's just keep more as opposed to any way it's thematically sound doesn't mean it'll work.
Yes. One failure on the free plus shipping thing, and I'm building these in here, was I try fucking everything. I try everything. I'm trying fucking everything. I tried free plus shipping yoga pants. And so we designed our own yoga pants. This was 3 or 4 years ago. I've never had a conversion rate as high as I did. It's like a 20% conversion rate on yoga pants. Killed me on all of my, cost of goods and everything. the business wasn't necessarily ripe for it yet because I didn't have my upsells built in. But 20% conversion rate on free push-up yoga pants. Same thing with coffee. If you have a coffee offer, we were running a free push-up coffee offer, didn't have our upsells baked in, but the conversion rates were just sick. And I just, if I had other products that I could put in there, it would work. But we found that free push-up coffee into gardening books or health books wasn't turning the corner for it, or free push-upping yoga pants and throwing them coffee wasn't turning the point for
it. So if you did coffee, but you had, like, let's say Raj, who has like Press Java Company, you know, and he probably has variety. So if he sold coffee, he could upsell more coffee and he has variety.
Yes. And where that- I, and where, if I was running a coffee company too, and I've looked at all this stuff and it's just, I haven't done it, I would definitely do, you know, the free sample route or like a smaller, like instant coffee, if you can get that, that you can get like in just like that makes like 4 or 5 cups of coffee and do a free plus shipping that way. Because then you can upsell into more bags and monthly, you know, bundles and everything like
that's
that.
That's a Raj. So Raj should do that. Okay, perfect.
So, and so that, and so that's a good, as we're jiving here, as we come up with the free plus ship,
yeah.
What can we free plus ship, right?
Yeah.
And so with us, so books are cheap. We buy them. They're really good quality books. We buy so much of them, they're cheap. And so how do we determine what is going to be like a new free plus ship product, right? So one of these I have, you know, we have our own skin cream, which is an apple cider vinegar skin cream. You know, the cost on this is, you know, $7 or $8. Shipping that is like another $5. Free plus shipping, you could play with a $9.95 or $12.95, but you really got to have your upsells baked in to convert them into 3 more bottles, 6 more bottles, et cetera. But then at that point, now you're just chasing the rabbit to kind of get something to break even when, you know, a higher price point for some of these stuff might be better. If I could get this in maybe half the size and half the cost, then that becomes a candidate for a free plus shipping offer. So I look at everything that I have. Is there anything that I could make it, not so much cut, but, you know, make smaller and sell free plus shipping? I test that. So specifically back to books, I was talking with David Sinek about this, and you know, we have a lot of books. I have about 25 printed, published books. And the way I can determine what is a good front-end offer is if I sell this book, The Secret Garden, as a free plus ship front-end offer, as upsell one, I'll test something like a cookbook, right? Upsell one, and let's say this gets like a 20% conversion rate. We're like, oh, okay. And let's say this was like an ebook, right? Let's say this is an ebook. I tell the team, listen, we've already proofed the concept that it works as upsell one. That's enough data to tell me we should print like 5,000, 10,000 of these, throw them into upsell one, but then also move that into a front runner for a free plus shipping, you know, standalone product too. So all of our free plus shipping offers get tested in upsells first, unless like I just get like a bug up my butt where I know this is going to just
come. How do you get these books made? I mean, how do you even get these books written? So let's say, you know, what if you don't have a book or you want to write one?
So that's kind of my secret sauce, which I'll share, which is, it's one of my original employees from 2011, 2012, when I started this, who was helping me write health content. She knew about gardening, she knew about health. And we just basically worked a deal of, you know, I need books quickly too. Like, I'm not waiting 6 months. Like, you know, these aren't ones that I'm going to see in Hudson News and, you know, in LaGuardia, right? So I need them quickly because I'm a marketer too. And let's work out a plan where we can, you know, turn around a book in a month. And we have a financial compensation plan for that. There's a royalty base for it too. Which entices her to shoot more videos and promos.
So you're not spending a lot of time writing a good book. You're writing a good enough book fast.
No, I would disagree with that because it is a good book because I will ask her, what is something that you're an expert on? This is not like, oh, write me something about like a new watch or something. It's like, what are you jazzed up about? And so the one that she's writing right now, I'll share my hand, and she's like, I just want to do microgreens. Microgreens is where it's at. And so she can spit out something she has complete knowledge over. And
What if you don't have a writer like that? How do you find one? Because like, what if people want to get books? How do you find? How do you go about? What do you, you know? How do you do this?
Yeah. So we have. So I have a couple editors through Alternative Daily and a couple other sites and everything like that. But there's a bunch of experts out in the field that want to get their name out there, and them trying to get on the New York Times bestseller, not having any money or any publishing brand behind them. It's an uphill battle. And so sometimes we'll actually place, you know, ads, whether it's, you know, LinkedIn or whether it's in, you know, an Indeed or whatever it is, of just like looking for an expert in this field, upsides of this, to actually write a book based off of this. And of course you have a conversation with them, but you know, interview them, you get an outline, and then the best thing to then do is just write 18 chapter titles and say, okay, I like those. Now give me 10 to 12 pages on those. If that's not a field that like you're necessarily an authority in, but you know that you could sell them.
I want to see that. I want to see
and just do those chapters.
I want to see this template, and then you give them the byline. So you're not white labeling. You're letting them be an author.
Oh yeah, I don't white label any books. It's their name.
Okay, so you're creating a star, and then they could go off and do what they want later. You don't own their life either, so they could go off and be their own celebrity. But then if they're great, you can probably give them a great deal and help them all along the way.
So what I found, and again, a failure has been, which is just paying somebody just an upfront, like, you know, here's what I'll pay you for do the book or whatever. As we found through the marketing of this, getting that person then to turn around a video for me, or to add extra copy, or to add extra like Got ads, it. Or they're not going to do it, right? So we switch it to a smaller upfront, and then a royalty for each book sold. And then that way you tell the person, like, I need this video done. They say, oh, I'm busy, I got to go to the whatever. I'm like, do you want to sell more books? Do you want more money in your pocket? Then I need this video. And that works 100% of the time.
That's fair. I can give them their first book. They want a big deal. So it's kind of like, you want to be a star, I'll compensate you if it performs, give you a little upfront money, and they're incented. I kind of like to see this contract, and you kind of help outline because you've done your research and you know the subject and what's going to hit. And then you have and then it also involves some kind of editors and some copy people to punch it up, I assume.
Yes. And so these are, so the whole process is, and again, I go back to it, I've always prided myself on this. These are super high quality books in which, you know, I get the authorities on, but they got to do it quickly because, I, as you know, being a marketer, you see different things and you got to go after it. And so we get the book back. I give it a once over, give it a read, good for it. I'm not going to edit it, so I give it to a straight copy editor, somebody who's like just looking for grammar, just looking for, you know, at typos and everything. And that gets done, goes to our in-house company designer, who takes about like a week to lay it out. She'll give us, here's what it looks like. And then the fun part is she gives me like 5 or 6 like book cover like drafts. And that's the fun part, because then I can start like picturing like where I can promote this thing and how that one can do, et cetera. And so we decide on that. One last editor I actually have, who's my, it's probably not a good thing, he wears a lot of hats. He's my CFO, he's my COO, but he also knows where all the bodies are buried for everything. So he has the one last eyeball on it, and he gives me the, Jake, this needs more, or Jake, this is going to be an amazing book. So,
right. So if you're starting the process and you don't have a machine like you have built, you kind of have to find, you know, put an ad out, find the thing, scope it out.
So, I wrote the very first book for this conglomerate, which was, it wasn't even health related. It was basically how to get hired in like a down economy. And this was back in 2008, 2009. And so basically for 2-3 months, I basically put down all the ways I was able to switch jobs and always get hired for more. And then I knew that my mother-in-law was a stickler to the most annoying point for grammar. And so I was like, hey, if I give you like $100, can you go through this, smooth it out? You know, it's my keeping my voice to smooth it out. Sure. And so she did it. It took her like a week or two. And then like I literally had like a book ready in about 2 or 3 months that was just perfectly done. And, you know, with a good editor and everything. Then I just went on somewhere like a Fiverr or an Indeed, found somebody to lay it out themselves, give me a cover design and everything. And by then I had the ebook, I had a PDF ready. If I wanted to get it to print, that's the next thing. And that's a good thing to share, is it's not that scary to get that book printed somewhere, right? There's a lot of companies that will do like one-off printing, and there's benefits to that. But some of these guys, even the publishers that I go to, you can get like 1,000 books printed. You can get like 500 books printed. They're going to be expensive, but these, you know, these kind of like independent book printers exist out there, and they're willing to take your money for it too. So it's not as hard as you think it is to get that.
And how about you going to budget for a test? So I write this, you know, I'm look who's on the call. I'm Lisa Beyer or whatever. She's already written a book. Lisa Cotier, you know, and wants to get more liquor clients, whatever. Just pretend like, you know, more people drinking her incredible rum, you know, to create demand. And wants a book written about rum and everything. Doesn't have time to write it, although she knows. And then she hires a writer to kind of a rum person, and you go search out there, and then an editor, you know. So it's just kind of a little process. So she gets it all done, has the book. How long does it take? Like, when do you know you have, how long do you, what kind of money and volume do you throw at it to find a winner? When do you cut bait?
So typically we can pretty much know, is it like the first couple of days? All right, I'll give you an exact number. So like we'll launch like a $500 a day Facebook campaign, right? Okay. Or given we have the email list, we'll test it to the email list too to see if that has like,
but you have free money, right? But you have an email list, right?
We have an email list. You don't have the email list. Like we can learn pretty quickly off $500 a day if this thing has legs or not. Like if I'm close, let's say if I'm, we look at basically 70 to 80%, you know, at ROI. If I'm losing a little bit of money, but my CPAs look manageable, I know that it's just the legwork for me to actually just get it going. So $500 a day, let's say I'm Lisa who wrote the liquor book. I think I met her down in Cabo. We talked about this. Like, let's say I wrote it. I mean, if you have $1,000 to kind of like throw at it, you could get a good.
Would you like just do the campaign without a book? Just make a cover and test it for a couple of days just to see.
It's so funny. Like, I've adamantly been against that, but so many people have told me to do that. I feel shady doing that, trying to sell a product that doesn't exist like that. But you could, and then just refund the money if you know.
Yeah, and then send them a gift. I mean, to say sorry that you know.
Totally, you could do that. I've never done that. What I have done though. Has been, I've split tested the covers. And so this book was originally called like the Emergency Garden or something like that, or Survival Garden. And, you know, we tested both. Facebook for some reason did not like Survival Garden, but they liked the Secret Garden. And so we kept that. We had a bunch of books that actually had the different name on there. We put like a little note in the shipping that, you know, the cover changed, but it's the same stuff. So it's, all right. You mean keep vibing? You want to ask questions?
Keep going. Okay. I have some questions I'm seeing here. So
that's fine. So here's another thing too, is like, do you have a product? And I'll ask this to the people out there to kind of like contemplate, like everybody has a free plus shipping product. Like everybody does, whether it's an information thing, whether it's a small free giveaway type of thing. It all exists. You always have it. So that's how we actually came up with the 25 physical products. It's like we had eBooks and reports that were maybe like 30 or 40 pages long that we gave away with products. But, you know, we saw that like those are boosting conversions. So we say, hey, we need to beef this up. These needs to be a really solid 150, 200 page book. Let's get that printed. So we created books from stuff that already existed in our wheelhouse. Using that content we also have on that site, I think we have like 15,000 articles. And so kind of like looking through those, what's getting the highest opens, what's getting the highest clicks. Let me create a book off of that. And go
totally
that.
Get it. So Lisa's asking a question. I think she may have missed the beginning. One is, who does the fulfillment? And then right now she says Amazon does everything. Do you sell on Amazon as well?
No. So it's another failure. We tried selling on Amazon about 2 years ago, and we forgot to ship the books within like 3 or 4 days. And then just the complete permanent slap came down. And so we have not had any luck selling on Amazon. We have used a couple different fulfillment centers. Everyone is great and everyone sucks. And so we actually decided to take it in-house and do it ourselves. So in St. Petersburg, Florida, we have a 10,000 square foot facility in which we control that whole process. So if I want to do inserts, if I want to do bonus giveaways or whatever, we control that process and we can do that and keep costs down. Obviously not everyone wants to do that. And I would actually highly suggest don't do it. It's the biggest headache. But we had a lot of volume, so where it made sense. I can't say anything about Amazon. It could be great. It could not be. But I know even Todd Zhang has, he does his, I've talked to him. He's got a good fulfillment center. Ours is good too. So, and there's always downsides to each one, right? Each one has different relationships too. So, it's getting that. If you can sell a higher price product, this is all about free plus shipping, but if you can sell a higher price product or set it up so that if people that are paying over $40 through your free plus ship funnel can get the expedited shipping, that's the number. There's two complaints that I get. Number one complaint is like, what are all these charges on my card, right? Like, we all have to deal with that and it's awful. But two is, where the hell is my book? Even with COVID right now, people ordering like 4 or 5 days ago are yelling at us saying, where's my book? And so—
Because they're used to Amazon.
They're used to Amazon. So I would say if you can get your shipping times down as fast as possible while making it.
Would you put your book at a super high price on Amazon, so when they Googled it, they'd see it's like $25 on Amazon, then they take your offer every day and have five
star reviews? Yes, but again, we were banned because we didn't ship out, so I can't do it. That was an idea. We're like, let's do it. And we're like, can't do it. So yeah, I would love to. And if anybody here, I'll put it out there. If anybody here can help me get back on Amazon, we can ship out same day.
Adam can do that. Adam Weiler, he's part of our group.
Okay.
Adam can like do anything on Amazon. Because you got to make it like crazy expensive on Amazon.
Yeah.
I love it.
So David Sinek is one of our buddies. We were talking a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, Jake, I don't get it. It seems like everything over Adult Daily is just complete chaos. How are you able to like sell all this stuff? You know, how are you able to do all this stuff? And I you know, rib Dave a lot about having tons of processes and procedures. But for me, it's like a controlled chaos, because if we're not adapting every single day, I see something from David to everyone. If we're not adapting every single day, then we're losing. And so by adapting, we're split testing. We're throwing stuff up against the walls. We're trying, you know what, we're trying bundles on the front end. We're trying bundles on upsell too. And so it's super important that once you get the numbers of yesterday, of like what yesterday's numbers were, that doesn't mean anything anymore. You got to split test them again. You got to make sure today is different. And so always having that control versus your variable test is, I mean, our Mike Geary, who a lot of us know, said at InfoSpeed, which was like, if you're not split testing every day, you're losing money. And it's true. And so we literally split test everything. So when somebody says like, what's your price point for 3+ shipping? It's completely decided by the market at that point. So that's why chaos reigns, is because we need to get stuff up and out quickly. And then, you know, specifically in this day and age where we have gardening and we have health, with everything happening, like with COVID, one, we have to make sure that like all our claims are super now dialed in, that we don't say anything stupid. But then also, there's also a huge opportunity to plant stuff at home, plant stuff in your garden, you know, and take care of yourself with diet and exercise and everything. So we need to adjust on the fly with that. So a lot of chaos, but it's a controlled chaos that goes on.
So question. So I got it. So you have to have a lot of opportunity for upsell. So, you know, test it, have your book. If you're doing a book, have multiple books or other things, or else it's not going to work if you can't upsell. Let's not talk tech on that. A lot of people here can enter all that. Any tech gotchas though, like things to stay away from, or is it just pretty generic on the upsell stuff?
We use a company called UltraCart, and UltraCart has, you know, upsells built in. Again, this is above my pay grade. I don't know what the other ones have or anything like that. But yes, so upsells, I know card hooks for Shopify and other stuff like WooCommerce and things like that. But here's the good and the bad of it, right? So they're one-click upsells, right? So one-click upsells, when somebody clicks that button, they're purchasing something. If you also look at complaints, that's a lot of the big complaints too, which is, hey, what's this extra charge? I didn't finish my order. What is it? This is the area that we all play in direct response. Some of you guys may not play in this, but the direct response world of getting a purchase and doing an upsell, people are not liking upsells as I'm seeing. But again, you know, that's just kind of like gut data looking at it. You got to look at your real data.
So you're saying if you had a platform, I think there's actually somebody in the group who owns one, who did it in a way that there's one charge based on all the upsells, that would be helpful to you?
So there's something I've discussed with David Sinek too, which is he's saying, no, you'd have to split test in it, and it would be a massive split test over the course of months. So right now you have to split test it, meaning like do bundled orders, which means just like one order on your credit card versus unbundled orders. You'd have to kind of look over that over about a month or two time to see what complaints are and everything like that. We currently do bundled. So if somebody buys something for $9.95 and takes all the upsells, they're going to be one charge in their card for like $100, whatever, right? Other folks, I think like ClickBank has it and maybe Limelight or whatever, they're unbundled. So you'd see like $9.95, $27, $37.
So, okay, so you can do it.
You can do it, yeah.
An UltraCart.
And so I get gut feelings from everybody. You know, talking with David Sinek, talking with a few other people. People think like if you unbundle them, maybe you'll get less complaints. We'll say, I bought the $9.95, but what's the $37? But then I hear the other side of the argument is like, they just get one charge. They're not complaining about those things. It's a headache. It's one of the headaches.
Okay. We'll talk more. I think so you do it bundled and you don't know whether that's the right thing.
Correct. Yes.
I would assume bundled would be way better, but because there's all these fucking things, but who knows? So
another thing that I have here is the benefit of multiple offers. And so this also goes along with the chaos too, which is I have one up and going, I want another one up and going, because in the way that direct response marketing works, that initial one's going to go down at some point. It's going to go down next week. It may go down in 4 years, but I need to sleep a little bit better at night. So knowing if I have one 3+ shipping offer going, I need to have at least one or two more going too.
Yep.
So we've diversified to the point where we have anywhere between 8 to 10 3+ shipping offers operating at one time. Usually one gets a, you know, 50 to 60% of the scale, just because that's what everybody's focusing on. But if that one goes down or something happens, and you can focus on the others. If they all go down, you still have other offers and other things that you could relaunch and try. So it's important to have, I think, multiple offers running, especially with 3+ shipping, because it is like the Wild West with that. It is like riding a dragon. Because if you're basing your whole success on having a free push-up offer that takes you into retirement. It is an absolute terrible mistake to have. So if you can get more than one free plus shipping offers going, I would suggest that if you're going to dip your toe into free plus shipping. All right.
I'm going to take you back.
Take it back.
So I've never done this before. I got the thing. I got the books written. I kind of think I'm ready for this shit. Don't have an in-house media buying team. So how do you do that? I mean, you try to get somebody a solo, like how would you hire the media buying here and the data is a thing. And if you're not savvy on that, I imagine you just get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
So if you're starting from the beginning and didn't have the team, what would you do?
Yeah. So we have a hybrid approach, right? So we started a couple years ago where we kind of just cast a broad net out in South Florida for, Facebook ad specialists or whatever, and just, basically had them compete up against each other. We also went with a media buying agency. Like, I'm sure somebody in baby bathwater knows an agency. I know agencies, and we all know agencies. I would personally find, if you can, the hybrid approach, again, is good, because I found with the internal media buying team, I can launch stuff faster and quicker and get better mm-hmm. results. But the benefit of some of these bigger media buyer conglomerates, they know how to scale. Like, they know how to take an offer from like 100 orders a day to like 500 or 1,000 orders a day. So the way I've worked it for us has been, if I can get my internal media buyer to launch something and the numbers look good, I then report those numbers to the media buying team and say, we want to give this to you. What's our financial thing, whatever. And you guys run with it now. So I use my internal guy as somebody who builds them up to be workable or not, and then give them to media.
What's your range? Because this is actually important. A lot of people should know this, because we hear a lot about media buying, but as a hire of media buyers, I've done this a lot too, for this kind of stuff. Right? What's generally your arrangement? Is it profit share, 10% of media buy spend? Like, what do you try to arrange with For the agency?
The agency, I'd love to do percentage of spend all day long, but I've also found that I've tried percentage of spend, doesn't work. I've tried flat retainers, doesn't work. CPAs, I have found, work. The problem with that is there's not a lot of transparency.
Tell people what a CPA is.
Sure. So cost per acquisition. So it means like if Lovage says that he wants to run my book, he says, you're going to pay me $16 per order. And I say, okay. And then I base all my numbers on that $16. If I can make a buck more than that, it's a win. But again, you have all the keys. So maybe you're selling for 12. So maybe you're crushing it, right? And so more transparency between the media buying companies and us is what I'm also working on.
But the CPA, you don't care. You got consistency. So if you're winning, what do you care of the margin they're getting? You don't give a shit.
I do give a shit. Like, I'd like to know, like, are they making an extra $5 or $6 when I'm making 50 cents, right? Because I have to put in so many upsells to justify that $16, $17 CPA. If there's a way to half that, if there's a way to say, okay, let's meet in the middle. Guys, we'll do $14 CPA. You're making money, I'm making money. And maybe I can knock off 2 upsells. I'd take that, right? And so I'm looking at not so much of putting more money in my pocket as trying to provide a better user experience for the person while not trying to upsell the fuck out of them all the time.
I want to take a note here. What we need to have is let's get all the media buyers here, and then all the people like me who are merchants who always are hiring media buyers. And we should have like a powwow and a truce and a peace pipe and figure out a model that works for everybody.
Great.
But I found the CPA is better because you want them incented. Or I've done paid on profit, and then we have to be transparent. So they're incented to keep the margins up and scale. But then that requires you to be open, right? So, and then they never trust you because we could screw them. Like, I've never lied, but they never believe you.
Yes. And that's the same thing that we deal with all the time. Like, I totally, and I get why they wouldn't necessarily trust me or believe me.
Why would they? I mean, just, right, hey, exactly. I'm a good guy. I got a good reputation. Chris, but there's so many ways I could have fucked over a BDO. I never would. But then they want to have a bad month and we actually didn't make a lot of profit. Then they don't believe you. It's just like, all right, man.
If there's, and so anyway. If there was a way to be more transparent, whether it's like 50% of profits and like I'm showing my hand, there's got to be that level of trust. Sure, right? I take that all day too. Because then everybody has skin in the game. So
you do a small time to test whether it's worth giving to the agency if there's enough margin, because the agency owner makes money, blah, blah, blah. Yep. So, and then they're the good for scaling, which makes a lot of sense because they just have, and they also have other data we don't have and all kinds of stuff.
Yes, correct. Couple here, I have some notes here too. Some of the biggest free plus shipping wins, whether it's from upsells or front end products, majority of the time, the biggest win is always a new product in the upsell. It's not so much copy. It's not so much like headlines and things like that. And so we really don't test a whole lot of that because we do have a lot of products. Now, I'm not saying don't test it, but I'm just telling you what we do. It's because I have so many products. You know, I'll tell Steve, my marketing director, was like, okay, we have, you know, 3 Garden Book Bundle is upsell 1. What if we were to actually put in the seed kit with it? Will that boost up conversion rates and we charge a little bit more for that? Usually that works, right? And so, or another win was have, which is instead of doing bundles, so let's say you have like a 3 book bundle, take out 2 of them and say, I'm going to give you this book for free when you buy these 2 books together, right? We have found that that actually works as well. But any new products and different types of structuring there has been amazing for them. So,
got it. So just for, so they understand, because you're going fast, is when he's testing the upsell flow, instead of like keeping the same offers there and changing headlines, once he kind of has a loser, he's like, what other shit could I put in there? As opposed to changing headlines. And he's like, so if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Maybe test a headline or 2, but go for something else as opposed to keep testing headlines over and over. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct. Correct.
Play with the stack.
You're very good at what you do, by the way.
Thanks.
And so another win has been videos, is including videos on the top portion of the video, of the sale, of the upsell landers, right? We haven't tested this, but I've seen people who do the timed videos. I've seen people kind of do a hybrid of the video and the sales letter. And we have found, again, for ours, we found like we don't necessarily need a ton of copy and the videos don't necessarily have to be long. We just really showcase the product like everywhere that we can, right? Color pages. And that's a big thing too. If you have a book or and it's a color book too, we'll put like a big spectrum over it. So it's like color pages, full color. And then another win, what we saw last year, which was, we put the big USPS logo here. So people really understood that they're actually getting that book in the mail.
Got it.
So adding the USPS logo actually helped boost conversion rates.
Yeah. Can you share in the assets, maybe some landing page examples that have hit it, if you don't mind?
Yeah,
That'd be cool to show some templates to people, like kind of a couple winners on the front end.
Yes.
And maybe an upsell or 2 and give them to Natalie so she can share and then we can sell. Okay. We'll make a book of Jake Carney's swipe. And I'm going to sell that.
Yeah, and then you guys can just steal it and just run it. And I can just throw it off into the sunset.
I'm going to I'm going to create a book like Stuff We Stole from Baby Bathwater Members and have a free plus shipping offer on it. Stolen secrets from Baby Bathwater Members who thought they were doing webinars.
So I have here upsell. And then there's also the downsells if you want to get aggressive. So let's say you buy this book and you say, oh, we want to give you this bundle for $47. And somebody says no. Then you do the downsell, which is, okay, do you want it for $19.99? And usually the downsell does increase the overall AOV of things.
Okay.
So it's these are the necessary demons if you're going to do the free plus shipping side of it. And I have here connected with it, which is the customer service headaches of it. Free plus shipping is not a problem-free way to get customers in. It's we've had to beef up. Last year at this time, I had about 4 full-time customer service reps, 1 domestic and 3 in the Philippines. And now I have 9 domestic and like 10 in the Philippines. So it's been a necessary expense for us because just the amount of volume that we're doing, we need to answer the phone. So I charged my team last year with test them with, we need call handle rates of like 98% plus, right? If somebody's calling, somebody needs to be picking up the phone. Preferably domestic. I like that. But again, the folks in the Philippines are amazing to us. They get the second ring, if you will. They also handle emails and tickets and live chats. But it's getting ahead of all of those potential complaints that are going to come, right? And then if you get like bigger complaints, chargebacks, or if there's a Better Business Bureau thing, you got to tell like your customer service lead, like, those are the ones that you have to focus your main time on. Like, I don't need somebody, a lower level person focusing on those ones. Like, you're my face. You're my frontline defense. I need
you to focus on those. So prepare to scale if you hit it big, because it's going to happen, and then have that kind of planned out.
Yes.
Totally understand that.
And so, and again, I'm also not advocating to somebody who's selling like 100 books a day to go out and get like, 20 different customer service people. Keep your finger on the pulse with that. And up until about 2 years ago, I didn't read any customer service stuff because I always told, stay out of it, lifestyle business, you want to have fun, don't read that stuff. And I had to reimmerse myself in over the past year and a half, which sucks. And if I wasn't bald, I'd be bald because of it. but it is a necessary anxiety.
That's why I think it's the most fun part of the business, because you can make it, I love customer service because you can make it into a sales machine. And it's also really fun if people are bought in, and that could be your most valuable asset if you do it right. And I think it's fun to make people happy. So I think it's all set a frame, but.
And that's good. I like that. And that helps me too, because I will tell you the majority of people, because I'll pop in, like I'll be the one who likes, you know, I'll just, I like to be the CEO that pops in and says, hey, you know, I'll work in the handle this personally. And now you get the people who are so pissed off at you. If they just get somebody on the phone, if they just get a response back, it literally just changes their day. So another thing I've been doing for customer service, and if you're at the scale, if you can do this, is the people that are like super pissed, you know, and threatening stuff and everything like that. Again, they could be playing a game or not. I can justify a couple $10 Amazon gift cards per day. And so if somebody's really pissed off, they're complaining like, listen, I'm sorry, keep the books on me. And just for the sake of like a goodwill, you didn't like it. You didn't like your experience. Somebody didn't get back to you in time. Here's a $10 gift card. Tough times right now. Hopefully this helps out.
It could be really fun. I mean, we always found good luck with women from the South who like to call people honey. Like, just, it was great. And they were great to have around. And like, just the people love people. Like, I think people hire the wrong customer service people, because there's just people who generally like people, want to make them happy. And as long as you have a good product and you're doing the right thing and they like know your company is good, they'll fight for you. If you're a scam, they won't fight for you if you suck. But if you're actually doing the right thing, and you always, you know, making the customer right, those kind of customer service people love working for you, and they'll go, anyway, we're going to have a whole thing on that.
Yeah, but one thing I also found too was, and I didn't put this policy in, but in this no knock on the customer service director there, was they were trying to figure out if somebody wanted a refund, like, would you refund like half of it, but they had to pay the shipping or $4.95 shipping handling. And I found out just through like going through customer service stuff, I was like, guys, if people want the refund, give them the whole thing. Like, we can afford it. We have that caked into our numbers. Give them their money back. And so that's the way we've always operated is since then, is if somebody's asking for the money back, just give it to them. And these are books that cost us, you know, 80 cents, a dollar.
And a gift. I mean, all kinds of stuff you can do.
And today I got a couple of things. If somebody said, I don't want the book, I'm returning it. And I said, hey, listen, find somebody else in South Carolina, re-gift it to them. You know,
you don't want the return.
And
Anyway, so very cool. So what am I missing here? So now we have people here. I want to, what are other things besides books? So, one thing we could go to is, I think you've gone through the book thing. I've asked a lot of good questions around that. And then
DVDs, if people still want to do DVDs.
So let's go through somebody who raise their hand. Who wants to be a volunteer? And then we're going to have Jake answer your questions. It's not like, who wants to get on here, get on the panel, and let's make your free plus shipping offer.
I don't have all the answers, so.
I'm just going to call on somebody. I think it's going to have to be Seth Spears. Let's get Seth in. You know Seth.
I don't think I've actually properly been introduced.
Does he have video or no? Everybody's going to look at his picture.
There, there he is. What's going on?
Oh, look.
Look. All right. So. So
he's doing product packaging really well. It's great.
It's amazing. Look at that. So, Seth, you take it. So what would they do for P plus shipping?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that as well, since, you know, pretty new company. I mean, we just launched in January and our margins aren't nearly where we'd like them to be until we hit certain economies of scale and all that. And plus our, just the pricing quality is just, or the ingredient quality is just so high. So because of that, what would you recommend if we were to do or attempt to do something like that?
Yes. So, and again, I know nothing about the cost of everything, so I'm just kind of just spitball a whole bunch of different things. I got the toothpaste. The toothpaste has been great. My wife uses the shampoo. Thank you for that. If there's a way to do sample sizes of that, like I think about like the airplane toothpastes. And again, you got to be careful with your margins there. I think paying like $9.95 for a small toothpaste could be tight, but maybe $4.95 or, and then, you know, hey, you got one, you know, you want three bottles on, you know, do you want three bottles today, two on me, get your price up. But I definitely see those small sample size or, if you have like a little box where you can do like the little like foil rip away things of like a of the conditioner and the
like the little, it just snap off or whatever.
Yeah, try a box on us for free, just pay the, you know, shipping and handling for $4.95. And again, you're gonna have to upsell or look into your LTVs, because you also, something I didn't talk about either is, you know, this very well, which is the autoresponder series, and, you know, what is that customer's LTV throughout the month or two, right? If you guys can, if you can go in the hole a little bit, but you know after 2 months, it's gonna make itself up. It's, that's worth it too, especially for what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, we don't. I feel like we don't have enough data yet as far as what the LTV is going to be. You know, just launching in January, we've got basically 4 months of data so far. So we're just over that. So I feel like once we get down the road a little further, we'll have more of that information and see what our reorder rates and everything are going to be.
So then the free plus.
You can share with you. I think you have. I got the toothpaste, the shampoo. Can you, like, what else do you have that you want to share and something that I can think of for a second?
There's two types of shampoo and conditioner. There's a regular hair and then for curly hair. And then we just launched a hand sanitizer as well. Okay. So we moved that.
Can I throw a wild card? Yeah. So don't you have a lot of content around all this stuff?
Quite a bit on the wellness model side.
So what if you did a free book offer about, like, let's just say it's toothpaste, about dental hygiene, natural dental hygiene secrets, right? And like make a book because you have writers for fucking days. Do the same thing. Have a bunch of other books about the hygiene, shampoo, whatever. You just imagine it's dental for the toothpaste. It could be broader for whatever outside of the Wellness Mama brand, right? Because you have all these blog posts and all this content. And that way you could like a self-liquidating leads all day where you made profit off the books, but then sell them the toothpaste after that.
That's a good idea. And would you run through Wellness?
I see Jake cringing his forehead, but what do you?
No. I actually was just thinking too, just ahead of that, which is because I know that these products have a lot of, you know, cogs in them compared to books.
Right.
But I think like right now, shipping right now and shipping delivery times is like gold, right? Especially right now. So you could even do something, let's say, even with your toothpaste, maybe the current size bottle that you have or whatever, and, you know, free. It's but just pay $12.95 or whatever, $9.95, whatever it is. But it's, you know, 2-day, you know, delivery, right? And so now you're actually doing, instead of just doing media mail stuff, which could take 5 to 6 days, maybe you're giving free, just pay expedited shipping so they actually get it quicker. I mean, maybe it's just me, I'm an impulsive guy, but like when I buy stuff, like I want it like tomorrow, right? And so there could be an opportunity where you could test, you know, free plus expedited shipping to get it there, to get the conversions to work. The book side of things, like, again, it's an interesting model because, as I've said before, trying to get somebody from a book to a product has always been harder than going from, you know, books to books or products to products. Idea. And the book could also be in your upsells, maybe like an added USP to it. But I'm not sure, split test everything, but I'm not sure going from a book to the product would necessarily get you the conversions you would want. You have to split test it though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Man. But what about, I'm just curious, Jake, so when you're building these lists, though, how do those lists perform? Like, let's say you're doing a health one, and then I know you have supplements and all that, maybe not on the actual offer, but what percentage of people who do the, you know, your offers then become customers when you email them, when you email, I mean, you're monetizing those people all over the place.
Yes. And it's, for us, we break it down into, like, what's the revenue per email that we're making, and if it's in line, that works. There is that benefit of getting in, you know, let's say building that big email lead in the email list that you have. I don't know what the thing is with wellness and what you guys are doing with Wellness Mama. I know you already have the big list there. So I don't know if you need to build a big list there. I think it's something you would have to ask yourself, like, do we need that list of 100,000 non-product buyers right now? Or do we need a list of 20,000 product buyers? And if it's the 20,000 product buyers, that's what you need.
Yeah. Okay. Like, two entirely separate businesses. And I mean, obviously there's overlap, but we're trying to keep them as separate as possible. So ideally we want, like right now we're just focusing on getting as many new customers as we can to hopefully get those reorders and everything. And help, so they'll start talking to their friends and family and spreading the word about it.
So that goes to the more of the same lesson. So if I want to sell more books, start with the book. If I want to sell more product, start with the product.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so sample size, sample packs.
Yeah. Sample packs, little boxes, like with different things in there. It's, I think that'd be, yeah, I'd jump on that.
Yeah, we were working on the small, like, travel size toothpaste and things like that. Then with everything with COVID and travel basically stopping, we're like, well, timing wise, this might not be the best time to focus on that. But that's so it's kind of on the back burner, but that's definitely a possibility.
Now, something too, we were going to do this, and I decided not to venture into the hand sanitizer game. Because I know you can get pretty good margins on the hand sanitizer right now, but you're also not allowed to gouge or whatever, right? One idea that I had was just we were going to do it on the back end, just like a goodwill to help people out. but also just giving away people a free bottle of hand sanitizer when they bought something, right? So it's, you know, you'd have to bake it in and kick into your numbers, but you're saying, look at how good we are. Look, we're trying to help you. But then also we're going to throw in a free bottle of hand sanitizer right now because everybody needs it right now. And so if you can, it all comes back to numbers. If you can work that into that, you get your conversion rates up and maybe you charge a little bit more on whatever, it's worth a test.
Yeah, I don't think our margins would allow for that right now because hand sanitizer is actually our lowest margin item because we couldn't get components and the actual have enough manufactured, so we had to do like a limited run. Although it's like our best seller right now. I mean, it's just killing. Yeah. So it's kind of a catch 22 there.
But how much are you selling it for? $10?
Yeah, $10 with, we're doing a charity component right now. So when someone buys, then you can donate $3 of that purchase price to the charity of their choice.
Now, again, this whole thing's about free plus shipping. But again, it's also really about lower front end price products too. And so, you know, I would say everything we talked about here still applies to what you're doing. And I don't know if you're doing the upsell flow, whatnot, but like $10 hand sanitizer, and if it's crushing it right now, I would definitely say look into your upsells and what you can do in there.
That's what
the reason to turn the corner and try something different.
Yeah, I've actually got a call in like 10 minutes with a company about some software to use for the upsell. Because on Shopify, there's some limitations, as I'm sure you guys know. Right. So I've got a call with the guy in 10 minutes about a piece of software that hopefully will handle that.
Cool. Let us know. All right, Seth, that's cool. Let's see if we have time for one more.
Thanks,
one
guys.
More victim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Or I'm going to take it. If nobody else does, I have a question for one of our launches.
Sure, everybody, I'm drinking a Bloody Mary. It's Cinco de Mayo, so cheers to everybody.
Thank you. I'm doing mushroom powder, but not psychedelic. All right. Here's a question, Jake. So we're launching the hemp cigarette company pretty soon. Lefty's Hemp Cigarettes.
Is this a good time to be launching cigarettes right now with COVID?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
Hemp cigarettes. Convenience stores are open. Yeah. We can't do like we were going to launch with music and all this crazy stuff and take over Austin. That's not, but we could still. But I was thinking about a free plus shipping offer. So what would you do if you were doing like, because it's more and more and more, right? So, and then the argument internally was, but that makes the product look cheap, right? And I was like, so I was saying, well, I don't know if it does because it says try it. And if you like it, we know we're so, you know, I think if you framed it as, we're so confident you're going to love them, we'll give you the first pack free because we know you're going to buy more. So to me, is it necessarily make a product look cheap by doing a free plus shipping offer?
See, I've heard that all the time. And I always hear that from people who don't test a lot of things and they just kind of go with their gut. I don't think so. I mean, the free plus shipping, I never look at it as like, oh, that's just a cheap product or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I get what people are trying to do. I'm ahead of most consumers. But I get what they're trying to do. I don't think it lessens or cheapens the brand, right? And again, is, you know, Louis Vuitton or whatever going to do a free plus shipping offer? Probably not. But like, that's not what you're necessarily.
But they're doing. Not. But that it wouldn't make sense because like, try the bag. You'll like it so much, you buy five. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. So I mean, a pack of cigarettes is like, it's been a while. $12, $13, $15, something like that.
Eight.
Okay, great. Even better. I mean, you could even have. Sample, like what are you, how many are you selling? 20 in a pack now?
Or we're launching with a tastemaker test. So we have three blends and we're launching with a test. So you can be endowment effect, create what Lefty's is, right? And you have to scorecard it. But the three packs of five and it costs us very little. I mean, and so I was like, why not just do free plus shipping for it and then maybe upselling some packs? Like it'll eventually be one pack of 10.
Yeah.
But the cost, the margins are nice. So I thought, you know, why not do free plus shipping for the whole thing?
So let me ask this.
And we could do sample in two packs easy.
So this is an important question too. Where do you plan on advertising? Because I know a lot of people are, can you advertise cigarettes on Facebook? Can you advertise it on Google? Like where would you be looking to do free plus shipping on first?
Through the programmatic network. That could happen pretty easily. Yeah. There's ways to do that.
Gotcha.
Maybe it's, yeah, but so assuming I can get the offer out, even like partners, it doesn't matter, right? I think I can get traffic to it.
Okay, all right, okay.
Especially if you're paying affiliates a high CPA.
Yes.
Because you can back out in the lifetime, right? So it's.
Yes. I would say easily like sample pack or, you know, yeah, that's three, like when you said five, like three packs of five, like that's perfect, right? Or even five of those too, right? Once you get past your, test thing. But I think that also adds to it with the free plus shipping, like, free plus shipping, we're going to send you three packs, and we also want your input too. We want to know which one you like better. And I think that adds that USP of also.
Yeah, and we're serious. I mean, we're actually serious about getting these blends tested because we want to get it co-created because we can, I could, anyway. So you don't think it cheapens it if you frame it right?
I don't. I love this ACV cream that we have. If I could do this, you know, if I can, I'm looking into it of giving like little sample packs for it, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I don't think it just sacrifices at all.
And your argument would last thing before we go. So your pitch, so you're going to send us sample pages, but when you're saying get this book free, just pay shipping, what's your argument? Like, what is kind of the general hook in a nutshell of why are you giving this away free? What's your reason why?
We don't address that on the page of like why, you know, it's, of course you go into your marketing terms of like, it's so important for you to get this in your hands today or whatever. We really just say, you know, we talk actually kind of like the whole video pitch and the whole sales pitch. And I'll send to you guys. It's like, it's so important to garden right now. It's so important to create food on your, you know, food for your family. You know, you can do it in your backyard if you want to do it for a hobby. And again, one of my angles for gardening has been like, we really need to push that you can garden all year round, right? I don't want to make it a seasonal thing. Like, I want it to do all year round. So getting all of that stuff in front, and then guess what? It's so important that I want to give you the book today for free, just cover the cost of shipping, right? And so I really kind of build up the value of it. I'm going to give it to you for free. I'm like, okay. And then when you tell them, we do tell them, like, you just got to cover the cost of shipping. At that point, they're already like, okay, like, I'm in there.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right, very cool. So running on the out. I really appreciate it. This is fucking awesome. And I'm going to have Natalie, like, just hit you up for every resource we can get from you. And then we're going to publish
just
it.
Take everything.
We will. And then we'll sell the pre-plus baby bathwater secrets we steal from members. Just pay shipping. All right, man. That was fun. Good times. I really appreciate you doing this for us.
No problem.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right,
thank you. Bye-bye.